What have you been going through this week that you felt relief from in hearing God's word today? You know, what is it that you were going through in your life? And raise your hand if you've been going through something. I think we're all going through something, right? I mean, there's something that we're experiencing in life. For the kids, it could be something at school, a test, or, you know, some kind of a pressure of living up to the pressures that come with being a young person or a teenager and all the different things that you're facing in friendships or competition, you know, all kinds of different things that we go through in life. For adults, it might be a struggle in a relationship. It could be something that you're going through at work, or it could be something else, you know, that is unique to your own situation that you're struggling with. But God has something to say about that, right? He has something to say about that, and he is very, very present in our lives. And he says, seek my face. Can we all say that? Seek my face. Now, can we remember that when we have something that we're going through and we have that kind of pressure, or we have something that is causing us that we can't even breathe right, or maybe you're starting to feel a little tense, or you feel a little bit impatient, and you're feeling like, what's going on? I'm not myself. You know, what is happening in my life that's causing me to act in a way that I don't feel happy or feel free? Well, God says, seek my face. Seek my face. I'm trying to get it through to you. You need me in your life. You need to, if you want to get through this, you want to have a new perspective, you want a new kind of outlook on the things that are facing you, you want to feel that those problems are not going to overwhelm you like a big wave in the Jersey Shore that comes crashing down over you when you're standing there, then seek my face. And then what we do is in that moment is we say, I will seek your face. Lord, I will seek your face. Not, did somebody say something? I think I heard somebody say, what were they saying? Seek something? No, I heard it. Seek my face. I will seek your face, Lord. That is obedience. That is the step to an end to the problems. That is the first step to ending the problem, the pressures, the pains, the things that we're going through that we feel that are all on our shoulders. And we say, Lord, you're the one is going to help me here. And I believe it. So I'm going to seek your face. Okay, so we're going to take a look at this great Psalms 27. This is actually considered the middle psalm of three psalms, 26, 27, and 28. That are connected to the same time in David's life. Okay, so they're all kind of, when you look at these together, 26, 27, 28, you could do a little, you know, devotional on that, and you can read them and then kind of draw out the similarities and also the other things that are unique about them. It's a great thing to get into the Psalms. As I was reading more and more in the Psalms, I have been so excited. So excited because they're exciting to read and to be able to see how God is going to change things for the good. And so let me give you, first of all, I forgot to say that our church theme also includes the word seek the Lord and then sincerely. And there's something to say about that today. So we want to be addressing the theme throughout this year and understand what God is trying to say to us through it. In the intro to Psalm 26, Derek Kidner, a really great Christian from England, wrote this. In each of the Psalms, 26 to 28, the Lord's house comes into view. The Lord's house comes into view. That's what we have in common in those three. In Psalm 26, the worshiper, as he approaches, is searched by God's demand for sincerity. Let me read that again. In Psalm 26, the worshiper, as he approaches, is searched by God's demand for sincerity. God is looking to see if there's sincerity as he comes to worship. Okay, so that's very important because we have a theme that says, seek the Lord sincerely. So how are we going to understand that? Well, in Psalm 24, which is also close by, right, only a couple of psalms away, backward, it says this, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Who will come to worship and seek the face of God? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who doesn't lift up his soul to what is false and doesn't swear deceitfully, someone who doesn't talk like Judas. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. So if we're going to seek sincerely, then we need to be having clean hands. We're going to be doing things honestly. We're going to be a pure heart. We don't look at things that are dirty. Right? A pure heart. We don't think bad thoughts about other people and harbor them against them. We don't steal. We don't do anything like that. Right? We come before God and in this way. We don't lift up our soul to what is false. We don't look after things that are false in the world. We're looking for truth. Right? We don't swear deceitfully. Right? There's no deceit in us trying to take advantage of a situation for our own good. We're turning that around and living for a good wife that God has provided for us. Then we receive blessing. Then we will see God. We'll see his face. Amen? Okay? So when we get to this psalm today, it's very exciting knowing that, you know, that Derek Kidner he didn't know our theme because he's dead. Right? He died a while ago, 2008 or something like that, but he wrote these things for people like you and me who come together in churches and are led by the Holy Spirit to have a theme that says, seek the Lord sincerely. Amen? That is what God does with people who pour themselves into writing things for the good of other people. And that's what he was really seeking, the face of the Lord, because he was writing things down so that other people in churches like ours can read them and hear them and associate it and understand that God is talking through him to us, a dead man in the grave, but now in the presence of God truly for all time. Psalm 27, it's divided into two parts. The first six verses express confidence. Say that you are a confident person, right? What is the source of your confidence? It should be in God. Okay, that's the teaching here. Expressing the confidence of the psalmist in God as protector. No matter what enemies may threaten, no matter what happens in our lives, right? We have confidence in God to protect us, to be secure in him. I've read time and again how people are asking foremost in their lives for security. Security of some kind of a way, right? Verses 7 to 14 are a prayer. 7 to 14, an earnest cry for help and comfort in present need, out of which the soul rises again to hopeful trust in God. Right? So a soul rising again from this torment, the thing that's really on our minds today the most when you came in today, it is comfort in present need out of which the soul rises again to hopeful trust in God. Can you see yourself being brought up physically, being brought out of your pew, up into a place where the things that are threatening you, the things that are troubling you in your life have absolutely no access? It's gone. You are above it. You are in the presence of God. You are in presence of the one who lifts you up on a rock away from those things. Amen? It is no longer, you are no longer being affected by those enemies that are hounding you. You're here on this earth. You're not living in denial of these things, but you are turning to God and he is taking you into his presence so that you can conquer the things that you're facing. And this is what this psalm is about. Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Can we say that? The Lord is my light and my salvation. When things come after you and thoughts or whatever it is that is hounding you and Satan is coming after you and all these different things that is trying to threaten your confidence in God, you can say this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Get away from me. Get away from me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Victorious lives, people that are living in their lives with a belief that God is going to do something for them, and these other enemies, they have zero effect on us because we belong to him. So we need to do this. We don't just read scripture and remain silent. We turn it into something useful each day because that's what it's intended for. Right? The Bible is not meant for reading purposes alone. Right? It's application. And it's interesting. First, the Lord is my light and my salvation. We're going to talk a little bit about the light part because I think it's really important to talk about that. But it says, whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? So it's talking about people, I think, right? Of whom? Otherwise, he would say, of what am I afraid? Of whom? I'm not afraid of anyone. What can they do to me when God is my God? Right? And a lot of times we get wrapped up in that, especially young people. They're very intimidated by other people who seem to be popular, that seem to be in some kind of a position. And we are thinking, oh, I should go over there and join with them so that I can also be popular too. And oftentimes what happens is that you try to do that and they don't want you because we're listening to things in our minds that are untrue. God loves you for who you are, not because you hang out with a certain crowd, not because you have a certain brand of clothes, or you have a certain haircut, or you have a degree of intelligence that seems to surpass all of the other kids in the school. It has nothing to do with that. If you can learn that quickly in your lives, if God's love for you has nothing to do with your intellectual. It has nothing to do with that. He's the one that gave you your mind. And we're going to be hearing an example of someone like that in just a second. But first, I want to say this. First, this verse here, the Lord is my light. That is the only instance of the direct application of this name to God in all of the Old Testament. So it demands our attention here. The Lord is my light. Light cancels out darkness. Light is brought into those places where we're struggling. It disperses all the darkness. It breaks it up. It conquers it. Now I want to tell you about this woman. Her name is Alice Driver. I don't know if you've ever heard of her before, but she lived in England in the 1500s during the time of Queen Mary. Okay, and this, at that time, unfortunately, the Church of England was persecuting and killing Protestants. The Protestant movement was going on in England, and they persecuted them and they killed many people. And there was a group of martyrs, and I think there were three women that belonged to these, but one of them was named Alice Driver. And she called the queen Jezebel because she was seeking out people who believed in God in a different way, you know, in the Protestant faith, which we are a part of now, and was killing them, torturing them and killing them. She stood up to her. She was a very, very strong woman. And she was not well educated. She came from a family that was poor, and her father was a farmer, but she said, I may not have the same degree that you have in the university, but I worked hard behind the plow of my father, and I know just as much as you do, if not more. She was not intimidated, which talks about some of the things I'm talking about here, that grades and schools and all that kind of stuff doesn't always have to do with it. It's your heart. It's your character. The things that God is building in you that you use. And that's what sometimes the things that we as children need to be ashamed of, because we think that we are not the same as our friends. When God has intentionally given you your life with the family that you're in and your situation so that you can learn what he wants you to learn. And that he can use you in life for his purposes. It's unique. You are unique. We are all uniquely made for God's purposes, and each one is uniquely educated for that or not educated. They put a chain around her neck before they burned her at the stake. They put a chain around her neck, and what did she do? She blessed God for it and said, "This is a goodly neckerchief. Bless God for giving it to me." And they took her and they burned her at the stake, but she went there gladly for the sake of her faith in Jesus. That is courage. That is confidence in God. That is confidence in God. She stood up for her faith against the more educated lot. There was another man named Bernard, and he wrote a beautiful prayer that I'd like to read for you. I'm going to send it out too. He talks about the Son, S-U-N with a capital S, for Jesus, the Son of God. And he says, "Adorable Son, I cannot walk without thee. Enlighten my steps and furnish this barren and ignorant mind with thoughts worthy of thee. Adorable fullness of light and heat, be thou the true noonday of my soul. Exterminate its darkness, disperse its clouds, burn, dry up, and consume all of its filth and impurities. Divine Sun, rise upon my mind and never set." Isn't that beautiful? Divine Sun, Jesus, rise upon my mind and never set. Don't ever go away. That's what we need to pray in those moments when we are, actually every day. That's the attitude that we go into each day is, "Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Don't ever leave me. I'll be lost. But with you, I can see even when it's dark." In Micah 7, 8 and 9, there's also talk of light. It says, "Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." These are other words that we need to claim in the Bible when we get into situations and we feel threatened. "Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." Be gone, Satan. Get away from me. "He will bring me out to the light. I shall look upon his vindication." When the Lord wants to have his way with me and point out my sin to me, then I will listen. Because there is darkness that I need his light in. "He will bring me out to the light. I shall look upon his vindication." I will obey God because he is telling me I'm a sinful man. And that kind of light is the kind that I need. Because it is going to take me out of that death called sin and into light and salvation. He goes on to say, "When evildoers," this is Psalm 27, "when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall." That is an attitude we need to learn. We think that the world, with all these things that are going on, are at some kind of an advantage to us, right? Can somebody read in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15? Colossians 2, 13 to 15. If you get it, you can read it out. Colossians 2. Amen. He triumphed over those who had nailed him to the cross. He took all of our sins and he nailed them to the cross. He nailed them to the cross and he looked down and he triumphed over the people that had nailed him on the cross. That is the attitude of God here. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. Because there is something greater than that. There is something greater than the armies that can camp around us. War that rises up, and it's God. We have to have this in our arsenal, our spiritual battle where the things that God equips us with is his word, right? Doesn't it say that? It's a sword. Isn't it something to fight against all these things that we're facing in life? That is what God does for his people. And we have to claim it. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and this is the one purpose, the singleness of purpose. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after. Again, this word seek. What do we seek? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know what Judas would say about that? What a waste of time. What are you doing? You want to just go and gaze upon God? You could be using your time for other things, but in the back of his mind, he's thinking about all these evil things that he wants to do. And a lot of times the world is going to have that kind of an effect on us, right? It's drawing us away from the things that are important in life. And this psalmist is saying the one thing that defines me and that I have asked God for is that I can always be around him. That's important to me. What defines you? Why? Because he saved me from the grave. He died on the cross for my sins. He rose again from the dead and he promised me a place in heaven forever. That's why. How about you? Do you know where you're going? Do you know who holds your future? You better check it out. Check it out. Check Jesus out. Right? That's true character. That is truth. That is important, right? All the days of my life to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Listen to what Derek Kidner said here. Can we show that slide now? I sent you something. That's okay. I'm always throwing things at Alfred at the last minute. But let me just read this to you, okay? He says this, the best answer, the singleness of purpose, the best answer to distracting fears and the priorities within that purpose, two things. To gaze upon the Lord and then to inquire of him. Those are the two things that are the best answer to distracting fears and the priorities within that purpose of singleness. The one thing, right? And so this needs to be important to us as well. He goes on to say this, and this is the important part. A preoccupation with God's person and his will. A preoccupation with God's person and his will, it is the essence of worship and indeed of all discipleship. So from now on, since we heard these good words and we're reading this psalm, from now on, this day forth, you want to mark it down, I am going to be preoccupied in my life with God's person and his will. With his person and with his will for my life. That is my preoccupation. You know what preoccupied means? I am immersed in it. That is what my mind is thinking about. What are we preoccupied in life with? Gas prices, right? What else? COVID worries. War. Sickness. So when we apply this, it says, I'm going to, in those instances, I'm going to be preoccupied. Instead of letting those things overwhelm me and preoccupy my mind, I'm going to be preoccupied today with God's person, with who he is, and with his will for my life. And I'm going to trust and have confidence that that is going to bring into my life the things that I need to cope with this world and indeed have victory in it. To be preoccupied with God's person and his will. And not just that idea that I gave with you, but he's talking about, he said, that's the essence of worship. So when we come in here, what are we preoccupied with? Things that we brought in here with us, right? And so when we come in here, we are preoccupied in seeking God's face with his will for our lives, the things that we need to be equipped to go out the doors and to be able to say, now I know what I need. And to have trust in him, indeed of discipleship. And so discipleship is also the same thing, that we are preoccupied with God's person and with his will in discipling people. I sent out an announcement that we're going to be doing, hopefully a concert, to be able to invite our friends who don't know Jesus, right? And there seems to be some question on how we do that. We are preoccupied with God's person and his will. We are not thinking, how am I going to get somebody to come to the recital? How am I going to get somebody to come and attend something that is going to be offered so that they can hear something about Jesus? We are preoccupied with God's person and his will. We seek him and we ask him, we pray. We ask God to do it. We don't think about ourselves and worry, how are we going to do this? We get on our knees and we pray before God and we say, God, here it is. This is what we're going to be doing. You told me to seek your face. I'm seeking your face. The problem isn't there anymore. The pressure's off. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to form very slowly the face of someone who you know and you love and you also know needs the Lord. Very slowly coming in, because we are not blocking it off and worrying and thinking in too many ways to discount what God wants to do. We are preoccupied with him and his will. That is the way we live our lives as Christians. He will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock out of danger's way. Breanne said this past week, she sent an email out and she listed something very important. She said that in our society, there is a need for joy and excitement in people's lives. Listen to this next verse. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Does that sound like someone who is overcome by his problems, that is lacking any kind of joy and excitement? Why? Because they are seeking God. They are seeking God now. He has brought that joy into their lives. It's not just something that is going to be found in this one verse, but it's from the beginning, as we were talking about, that a person who is seeking the Lord sincerely needs to be doing it with a pure heart. They need to be doing it in a way that is going to be seeking the truth. They're going to be able to come before God and say, Lord, I'm in need of your salvation. I'm in need of your truth and your forgiveness of my life, my sin. Lord, now I'm here. I seek your face. And he'll say, I see you, because you're ready to admit that you are in need of me. Right? So it is all in these attitudes that we possess. Joy does not just come boom like that. That is not a lasting joy. That is an emotion. That is something that is going to come and satisfy us for a little while. But as we're going to see, as we look ahead to these prayers now, that there's times, even when we hear those words and everyone is saying, yes, yes, we need to do that. You know, when we walk out the door, that there's going to be things that happen and challenge that right away. Amen. When I read this next part, you know, reading in this whole explanation of the prayer, he just said, joy, praising, singing to God. And now what does he say? Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. I need you, Lord. I'm praying to you. This feeling is coming back into me. I know that I was experiencing, I was learning these lessons, and I really appreciate that, and it's really great for me to hear. But now the reality of the problems that I'm facing are sinking in again, and I'm seeing them creeping into my mind and in my heart again. And now I'm saying, Lord, where are you? Come to me. I realize that I can't do this on my own. I can't just say, yes, I claim that truth and then just start to live in my old way. I have to stay in that moment with God. I have to keep seeking him. You have said, seek my face. The first move is from God. Seek my face. Right? Again, we go back to the explanation from Derek Kidner. As the worshiper approaches, he's searched by God's demand for sincerity. Are you going to God with sincerity in your heart that you truly believe that he will help you? My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. I don't know about you, but I have a very real experience in my life where I was thinking, I just read the Bible. I was really encouraged by the words in Philippians where it says, you know, I can do all things through Christ who loves me and died for me and saved me. And then I go back into the situation that was causing me trouble. And it happened to be in my workplace where people were really intimidating me in my life. And I was thinking, oh no, this feeling, I'm still feeling so scared and I'm still feeling so intimidated. And God was saying, yes, and you need to seek my face. Because you're going back and you're doing it on your own power and you're thinking, I've taken care of that problem and now I can just kind of coast. But he's saying it's not about that. The life of a Christian is not just someone who is experiencing something, a one-time kind of deal, and now you're set for life. Life continues on with its teaching from God and from his strengthening of our faith and the letting go of the world. And so that is what he's doing. He's saying, Lord, I seek your face. Please don't hide your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. But my mother and my father have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. This is involvement. This is prayer that is coming before God and showing him. You think, okay, is there still more? Yes, there's still more because there's more to be learned. There's more to be brought into play with this relationship with God. It's not just that simple because life is hard. And there are battles to be fought. And there are things going on in this world. But you are equipped with the battle wear when you are with God. That is what David is teaching us through his experience. He's seeing enemies all around him, right? The level path, this path, right? Lead me on a path that is level because of my enemies. It's not for comfort, but for sure progress, someone said. It's not for comfort. It's for sure progress. Progress in your life toward God. Right? Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and they breathe out violence. Right? There's a real threat in his life. There's really something that is a people who are trying to kill him. But the end of this is so beautiful. He says, I believe that I will look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to wait for the Lord. Be strong. And this is given to all of us. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Two times. Wait for the Lord. God is worth it. He's worth the wait. And that waiting time can be so hard for us. And maybe you're going through a time like that in your life. Maybe you're feeling discouraged in some way. Maybe you're feeling like your relationship isn't what it should be with God. Maybe you've been running away from him. Well, today is the day to run back. Right? There's a lot of things that I've been learning in my older years. And, I would have to safely say it's because of God's word. Somebody could say, I have a lot of experience. I've learned a lot of things through my life. And so now I'm a lot, you know, more mature. Or I have more wisdom. That may be true, but God was there too along the way, wasn't he? Wasn't it God that was doing that and helping me to be go through those experiences and to be able to see those things? I was talking with a person who said, I don't know how much time I have left. You know, what sense does life have? I only, maybe, I don't know, 5 years. My response to that person was, I don't know if I'm going to be here tonight. That isn't what God wants us to think like. What God wants us to think like is that every single moment that we have is devoted to something that is filled with hope because of him. Do we go through times where we're going to be struggling? Do we go through times when we're going to have tests? Yeah. You can plan on it. But you can also plan on God being with you every step of the way. Seek my face. Your face, Lord, I will seek in every aspect of my life. Nichan and I were involved in acting and singing on the stage. There's a lot of egos there. You know, there's a lot of things that you face there. People think, I remember this guy I worked with at AT&T, after I left, you know, music full time and I was working there, and, they heard that I sang. And I said, I think they asked me to sing at a Christmas party or something. And I said, oh, I'm kind of nervous. And he said, what's so hard about singing? Just sing a song. And he was right. You know, but the thing is, when you're singing for a living and you're on the stage and people are waiting for you and you have a cold and you're not sure what's going to come out, it doesn't really feel nice being a singer. And there are things to worry about. And when you get onto the stage and you have a conductor who is yelling at you because you're falling behind and you're not following along and you're doing all these things and you're trying to do what they say and it's getting very nerve-wracking, it's not easy to be a singer. But those experiences taught me that I need God. And I'm not kidding. It was hard. A lot of hard things in life. But we need to remember that God is there, and he's there because he loves us. And he's going to bring victory in those situations. So that all of a sudden, all the people and the conductors and all the people in the stage and all the colds and the things that we're going through and everything like that, God has this wonderful way of coming into our bodies, our souls, our minds, and giving us a tremendous peace that words cannot express. And it happens when we seek his face. When we don't let those worries and all the things and the voices and all these pressures overwhelm us, but we say, now listen to me. I am a child of God, and he loves me. And he is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He's my stronghold. Of whom am I going to be afraid? Amen.